Intelligent Medicine is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and healthy eaters get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/Hoffman to support the show and see if you qualify. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And what's our next question, Layla?
Okay, this is an interesting one. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. What is the deal with structured water? Is there any evidence of value in it? And basically,
there's all kinds of things on water. There's ionized water. Mm-hmm. There's raw water, come under criticism lately because it's like, oh my goodness, it's like raw. But then it's like raw sewage potentially, and it could be unsafe. But
that could still be a source of structured water because there's not been any bactericides put into it. So structured water is created naturally in the great outdoors, like in waterfalls, mm-hmm. in swirls and ebbs. Mm-hmm. And structured water is said to be lighter than and not as dense as conventional tap water. It has a strong electric charge and lower surface tension. Huh. So it's also been known as clustered water, hexagonal water, and it's been processed to give it all the properties of wild water. Some researchers attribute good health and longevity, which is very interesting. Those are the claims.
But where's the scientific validation of that?
So structured water molecules held within cells might have a higher level of electrical charges. This is all theory.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other researchers who would actually debunk and say, really, there's...
So in other words, certainly it's exhilarating to go into nature and drink water from a pristine waterfall.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't have Giardia in it or something like that. Because there may be upstream, at the top of the waterfall, maybe a deer pooped into the pond before the waterfall. But, look, maybe we damage the quality of water by the water treatment.
Sure. Yeah. So really structured water is water that hasn't yet been filtrated, mechanically cleaned, or processed in any way. Mm. And it's said that it holds more energy as a result. And
are there safeguards to make sure that it's sterile, that it doesn't have...
That would be my question.
Yeah.
Honestly. So yeah. that would really be...
You know what's interesting is that we talk about these waters, raw water, structured water, virgin water, never been touched by human hands. Historically, a big problem throughout the ages has been water and water quality. And in fact, through much of the history of mankind, or the civilized history anyway, people preferentially drank beer and wine for breakfast.
Benjamin Franklin comes to mind.
No, for breakfast, it was more dependable as being free of bacterial taint.
Yes. Drinking, I think it was called mead. Mead back in the day, kind of fermentation. But contained alcohol, nonetheless. So
which is a sterilizing agent.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the structured, what has been touted about structured water benefits? Because of the many roles that water and hydration have in the body, structured water is said to benefit energy, digestion, regularity, enzymes that help with nutrient absorption. I don't know, Dr. Hoffman.
I can't separate the real from the hype.
Yeah, I would be more interested in very clean, filtered water with contaminants removed.
I'm going to get some answers to this.
Okay.
Because I'm interviewing a good colleague of mine who you know, Dr. Dana Cohen.
Yes.
And she's written a book about water.
Oh, yay.
And it's coming out this spring, early summer. And I'm going to have her on the air. We'll talk about the controversy surrounding these different forms of water and whether there's actually legitimate research that suggests that there's been. My mind is open, but I bring a certain skepticism to the fore on this because it could be just a way of taking what's a really ultra-cheap commodity and repackaging it and, upselling it, Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we do with like Fiji water and things like that. Like they have, you assign all these attributes to what is essentially a natural commodity that's free and available when you turn on your tap.
Yeah.
And then you make enormous profit empires based on, the aura of some, pristine quality that the water may have.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would take this with a couple of grains of salt.
Okay, good.
And I look forward to that.
Will that interview. Damage the structure of the water?
I don't know, it might.
Okay.
Added mineral, sodium.
Right.
Thank you for your question.
Okay, this is a good point at which to pause and allow one of our sponsors to share this important message with you, so please listen up.
As a health-conscious person, you're going to love our new sponsor, Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, strength trainers, healthy eaters, and more. The Health IQ Advantage is their unique mortality model on the health-conscious and lower rates for health-conscious people, like a good driver savings on auto insurance. They also have unique underwriting that's tailored to the needs of the health-conscious, so things like having an adverse family history won't typically drive your rates up. You can actually qualify for up to 33% savings by doing things like taking a Health IQ quiz and scoring elite, having a membership to a qualifying association or gym for more than 1 year, and more. Health IQ believes the best way to improve the health of the world is to celebrate the health conscious rather than penalizing those who are not. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/Hoffman or mention the promo code Hoffman when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Even if you don't qualify, Health IQ will use their world-class underwriting team and shop the nation's top 30 carriers to get you the lowest retail rate in the market. So don't miss your chance to save up to 33% in your life insurance and check out healthiq.com/Hoffman to see if you qualify today.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors because they're what make this podcast available to you as a free resource. So check them out. And now back to our weekly Q&A with Layla. Layla, what's our next question?
This is actually, Joanne is writing, "Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. My question to you is to ask you to dispel a myth. My partner had his thyroid removed back in 2010. He was put on Synthroid. And over the years, he became less and less vital. He used to exercise daily. Anyway, thanks to your program, I knew about Armour Thyroid, and after months of resistance, I did get a local doctor to prescribe it, and my partner's doing much better since he had been off Synthroid. So now I have a pet peeve. Virtually every doctor and every website spread the myth that Synthroid and levothyroxine are bioidentical to natural thyroxine. They are not.
Right.
Please get the word out that isomers of T4 are not bioidentical to T4 and are not as effective."
Wrote a column about that about a year and a half ago when it was found that people who receive synthetic thyroid, which is T4, about a third of them don't feel well. And they don't, even though their numbers are good, they don't feel well. So the story is, to reiterate, your thyroid makes really several types of thyroid hormone. But in particular, T4 and T3, and something called T7 in a small amount. But T4 is a precursor to T3, and T3 is mostly what the cells use. So the theory when they give you Synthroid is that the T4 is going to be properly converted by your body to T3, and you'll have adequate T3 to power all your cells. The problem is T4 is not always converted well to T3, particularly in individuals who are ill.
And he had his thyroid removed.
Right. So he's total, he needs total thyroid replacement.
Yeah.
There's no, okay. So, the answer is the thyroid establishment is convinced that T4 is safer.
Yeah.
And more reliable. That's their argument. And, also it's better regulated in terms of the amount of thyroid that's delivered. Mm-hmm. It's more quality controlled. And also, they make a point is that when you give T4, T3 combination to, say, an older person who might be prone to cardiac arrhythmia, they're more likely to get a cardiac arrhythmia. So you have to be cautious with these combos, and whether it's Euthyroid or you know, Thyrolar, or whether it's
Nature Throid
or Armour Thyroid or Natural Desiccated Thyroid. It goes by many names. Mm-hmm. These are T4, T3 combinations, some are synthetic and some are derived from basically ground up animal thyroid, like in the old days. Mm. And a lot of people have much superior quality of life on those.
Yeah.
And it really should be acknowledged mm-hmm. that those are an option.
Yeah.
But not everyone who has thyroid problem needs them.
Yes.
Some people do fine on Synthroid, but mm-hmm. it really, someone who doesn't do well on Synthroid, like this guy, should be immediately considered for natural thyroid replacement. And
yes.
you see, it did make a difference.
Yeah. Joanne goes on to say, when my partner ran out of Armour Thyroid and decided to take leftover Synthroid that he had, his body became so dysregulated that, oh wow, it appeared he could have died at any time. This was very scary.
Hmm.
I know that you do programs on thyroid periodically, but yeah, thank you for dispelling.
Well, she's helping
myth.
To, by this very email, she's helping to dispel for some the negative connotations that are assigned to natural thyroid.
I want to say also personally, in practicing with you, Dr. Mm-hmm. Hoffman, over these years since 2005, I have watched people come in with either the wrong dose of thyroid, but more particularly the wrong type of thyroid, and you fixed it. And you fixed it better than their endocrinologist has. So kudos to you. And
that's kind of weird because really in the hierarchy of medicine, I rank below an endocrinologist in terms of thyroid training and expertise. But I think this is where at least some of us integrative physicians who are not board certified endocrinologists sometimes have a leg up.
Yes.
Because of our openness to more options.
More options,
you know.
And scrutiny of the numbers and the patient's presentation.
And paying attention to the patient, being patient. Or, you know, don't treat the numbers, treat the patient.
Right. Joanne, thank you very, very, very much for this email.
Yep.
Best of luck to your partner.
Good one.
Get that Armour Thyroid. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Sarah writes, I'm a 71-year-old female in a 50-year monogamous marriage.
Hmm.
I just had a papilloma removed from my uvula. Presumably HPV.
So some people are thinking that the uvula is somewhere south of the belt line.
Yeah.
It's actually if you look in the mirror.
It's a punching bag.
Yeah, it's that thing that's hanging down in your pharynx. You know, when you mm-hmm. look and you say, what's that little thing that's hanging down there? That's
your
uvula. Yeah.
So I had a papilloma removed from my uvula, presumably HPV, human papilloma virus. I've no reason to believe I got it sexually unless my sweet, naive husband is lying. I did.
There's a little family drama here.
There we go. I did have an incident about 10 years ago where a young waiter cut his finger on the dishes he dropped and his blood ended up on a straw and then in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Per the restaurant, we were both tested for HIV and hepatitis, mm-hmm. all negative.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Could the HPV be related to that incident?
So let's tackle that exposure in the restaurant and any kind of exposure. You know, like, frankly, your waiters touch your stuff and then you put it in
their thumb is in the plate that they bring you. And
that is a very, 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 very unlikely route of transmission of human papillomavirus. I guess it's conceivable, mm-hmm. but it's an unlikely route of transmission. You know, and, you know, people get dentistry, dental instruments, and things like that. So another area of possible exoneration for the husband, you know, is that, you know, not most, but not all papillomas are caused by the human papillomavirus that's sexually transmitted.
Yeah.
So it's conceivable that this developed from some other virus that was not sexually transmitted, okay? Mm-hmm. But the majority of HPV, and in fact now a considerable percentage of mouth cancers, which HPV might be a precursor to, just as it's a precursor to cervical cancer, come from not smoking, but from sexual contact.
Yeah.
Oral sex.
Yes.
And that's a concern because emerging that there's more, you know, it's the changing pattern of human oropharyngeal cancer, mm-hmm. which has only been noted in the past, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years. It was.
Yeah. There are more oral cancers showing up.
Yeah. It was publicized through Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas, who had smoked.
Yes.
But he,
Michael Douglas, the actor.
The actor, yes. he had throat cancer, and he claimed that it was probably sexually transmitted, although it's hard to determine. Mm-hmm. So another possibility is that the husband had been faithful for 50 years, but the husband may have had some sexual partners before mm-hmm. the transmission of that. But, it's also, this woman claims that she's been monogamous and maybe she had no sexual partners before her husband of 50 years. So he's been the only sexual partner. So it's unlikely that she got it.
Yeah.
50 years ago, 21-year-old women had not had a dozen sex partners. Now right. That's probably the norm.
Yeah.
With oral sex being quite prevalent. It's
yes.
The mores have changed.
Yes.
So, can you think of any other way that this...
Wouldn't HPV also go dormant?
Absolutely.
In many people and shows up.
It can absolutely be dormant. And in fact, many males are carriers of it, mm-hmm. and many females are carriers of it.
Hence the Gardasil vaccine.
Without any apparent consequences.
Yeah.
Well, also an argument against the Gardasil vaccine, because you're using a vaccine that can cause a lot of side effects for something that is very ubiquitous that only rarely develops into cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, cancer is a horrible thing, but it's a relatively uncommon event mm-hmm. from exposure to the human papillomavirus. Mm.
What's useful for HPV? EGCG?
Absolutely EGCG.
Mushroom?
Absolutely
HCC.
EGCG. Those are really good.
Empower.
Yeah.
Empower.
Yeah. Empower. Also. Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Can mm-hmm. be very good for mm-hmm. for combating HPV.
Yeah.
Not all the HPV viruses, however, are associated with any cancer. There are certain numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something, mm-hmm. 16 and 18 I don't know. So that might be something. Well, Sarah, keep your immune system well, for one thing, so you don't get another papilloma mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or something. Taking EGCG, Empower.
It does bring up an issue, though, because it's not uncommon mm-hmm. that women, especially when women contract herpes, and it can occur the other way around, that there's a great deal of stress and tension that is placed on the relationship.
Yeah.
Especially if they're in a marital or monogamous relationship, and mm-hmm. And the problem is it's hard to determine if it was transmitted by that person.
Yeah.
Now there are law cases, where there's civil suits based on, especially women suing men for exposing them to herpes, alleging that the man knew that he had herpes. And didn't take precautions, which is barrier protection and not just the pill. The birth control pill is not going to help to prevent transmission. And then, it's a form of, it's a tort. It's like a form of battery or,
Boy. Hmm.
So, you could probably ask, there probably are some attorneys who specialize in that. And, if you see one and, pay a hefty fee, he'll tell you all the ins and outs of how you can pin down your spouse.
Yeah.
In terms of testing and subtyping whether it's, something that's plausibly transmitted by him.
Mm-hmm.
One can really speculate that there's a whole branch of the legal profession that's based on these mm-hmm. types of investigations.
What I also want to remind Sarah is that we're seeing more and more and more HPV. I don't know it's because they're testing more for it, because now
they have the capability to test.
They have the capability to test, and maybe that's why.
Right.
We're seeing
more. Also that in the past it was like, okay, you got cervical cancer. They had the Pap smear. Who knows why you got it?
Yeah.
Then they said, well, it's more likely if you have herpes, and it was. So herpes was thought to be a cause of that, but herpes is far less common than HPV.
Yes.
It's a virus.
Yeah.
But HPV is actually about 60% of young women have been exposed to HPV.
Yeah.
So,
like more than one in two women in America.
Yeah,
so it's more, okay.
So, you know, and, you know, I don't know that there are case reports of women. See, an interesting thing would be, whether there are any case reports of women with either oral HPV or, genital HPV who are, have not been sexually active at all. Huh. That would be
interesting.
Open up the waiter scenario, you know, as to whether you could be exposed to it through some kind of contact that wasn't sexual.
Right.
You know?
Right. Interesting.
You know, and of course there's always that touching the doorknob specter, you know, that kind of thing, you know, or touching the handle of the toilet, you know, of the handle of the toilet. You
sitting
know.
On the toilet.
Right. That kind of thing.
All that.
Yeah. That, you know, all that stuff.
Okay. Well, Sarah, this was quite the dissertation. About.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. We wish you the best of luck. Keep your immune system well. Again, EGCG, vitamin C. I like zinc, at least for a little while. Balance it with copper. Take some Empower. Empower is a great idea.
Yeah.
Against HPV.
And then, you know, and then sometimes stuff happens and it's sort of an imponderable, and I would just like treat it and forget it. And because it's not going to impinge on your life. It was discovered early and, you know, it's going to be handled. And the dentist or the oral surgeon will conduct a little greater scrutiny and surveillance and make sure that nothing comes back.
The other thing is, she says, presumably HPV, but isn't there a blood test
that could find out
for certain?
Yeah, certainly. There's a herpes blood test. I'm not sure if there's the HPV blood test. But
yeah, okay.
The lesion itself can be cultured for HPV.
Okay. All right. Sarah, best of luck to you.
Okay. So that's all the time that we have for today's edition of our weekly Q&A with Layla. And so, in closing, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. Also, check out Fullscript, because Fullscript, one of our good sponsors, offers vitamins and supplements that are of outstanding quality that we personally curate and select for not just our patients, but also for our listeners. So please check out Fullscript. Go to drhoffman.com and click on the drop-down menu under Shop, and you'll be directed to the Fullscript site where you can enroll, and you can then shop thousands and thousands of supplements that are of the highest quality. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.